If you're looking for a new way to support the podcast, check out W.GG, an energy supplement company trying to make a difference. There, you can use code SIDEMISSION for 10% off your order. Thank you to W for sponsoring this episode, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome in to the newest episode of Side Mission. I, like always, am your host, Rusty Ellis, joined by... These guest intros are always so weird, Matt, because I don't know if to just say just one of the boys, because we have more than just one of the boys here. We've got you here. That's good, yeah. I guess. But for this franchise, it's good that you're here. You're a longtime fan of this franchise. But we do have a guest as well, Zach Lindenberg, my man. We are excited to have you on this episode.
Appreciate being here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, hey, listen, man, when Matt said that he might have somebody to be a guest and Kyle wasn't playing the game, I was absolutely, like, that gives me a little bit more time to breathe. It gives Matt a little bit more time to breathe. It means that the two of us don't have to be out of breath because we're both out of shape and we both talk a lot. So, nonetheless, mainly me, I'm not honest, mainly me. I won't speak for Matt, it's mainly me. But, nonetheless, we are talking about Monster Hunter Wilds today, and... I mean, I know how Matt feels. Zach, I actually don't think I've talked to you at all about this game, so I don't know 100% how you feel about this game, but I'm a really big fan of this game. I think that in terms of a Monster Hunter game, I do think that there are elements from previous games, or at least there are things from previous games that maybe aren't here that longtime fans would probably not be happy with. Like, I know that one consistent criticism has been... The game is a little easy at certain points. For full reference, I got through the entire story and the post-game story without fainting. So I know that people play these games for at least a little bit of a challenge, and there's not a huge challenge here, and that for some longtime fans, that might not be a great thing, but I'm a big fan of this game. I've been playing it nonstop since it came out. Matt, you played a lot of Monster Hunter World, a lot of Monster Hunter Rise, and you recently finished the story with this one. Tell me, do you align kind of where I do, where I feel like this is an excellent entry point into this franchise? And I feel like it's also a great entry point for newcomers as well. I feel like this is a great starting point.
Yeah, as I was saying before in the past, Monster Hunter World was definitely the first step for Monster Hunter to finally maybe get some mainstream, to be recognized by the mainstream. And it absolutely did, because I noticed that, you know, after we had World, Rise came out for the Switch, and now we have Wilds coming out. And Wilds is absolutely, in my opinion, the best game to start off if you're new to Monster Hunter. Just like we talked about, it's fairly easy in the beginning there. Honestly, just like you, I didn't die for a while, but that all changed when the fire octopus attacked. Yeah. The first time I fainted.
Yeah, the new Udra is no joke. That is a tough monster hunt.
And one of the things, we can go into more detail, but I'm just going to slightly mention it, that I think is a great introduction to help newcomers is the fact that monsters can gain wounds over time.
Yes.
And that sets it to where you're, you know, you find those spots that are easy to break in order to get those materials that you need, because Monster Hunter has always been known for the grind when it comes to getting the right materials, because back then we didn't have, like, pinpoint locations. We would just damage a section of the monster and numbers would pop up to show the damage, which is something that has just, you know, stayed all throughout the series. But with the wounds, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that it very much, in past Monster Hunter games, it very much felt like if you needed a specific piece of a monster, you almost had to kind of guess and then get a little bit lucky that you did enough damage, whereas... Now you can focus, like if you need a tail of a monster, you can focus on the tail, deal damages to wounds there. It'll deal even more damage when you're able to get off one of your bigger attacks. And I feel like that gives you a better understanding, or a better chance at least, of getting the piece that you need. And this was probably the first Monster Hunter game, and I think that mechanic is a large reason why I'm about to say what I'm about to say, is this game and that mechanic made grinding hunts so much more approachable. Because in the past, it very much is, okay, damage monster enough to get through first phase, they run away, you go find them. Damage the monster to get through phase two, they run away, you go find them. You end the fight typically after that second time they've run away. And I felt like here, that gave me a goal going in of, okay, I know for this armor set or for this weapon upgrade, I know I need this piece. So when I hunt them, I'm going to specifically focus on this piece. And I'm going to do whatever I can to focus on those wounds, create wounds in those on those parts, and end up, again, getting the materials I needed, even if there were a couple, looking at you, Aquasac, that early on were a little frustrating to try to get because I didn't know at first that that was not a piece that you could knock off. That was a reward you got at the end of the quest. So I do feel like that made the game a lot more approachable from that standpoint of being able to, again, going into an optional hunt, going into a main hunt, knowing what you want to look for, knowing what you want to go after body part-wise, that makes the game a lot more approachable. Zach, this is your time to shine. This is your debut on the Side Mission Podcast. It's really not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things, but I guess just taking it from there, how did you feel as a whole about this game? Did you enjoy it as much as we did?
Yeah, so I'm going to be completely 100% transparent. I haven't finished it yet, but it's been really interesting, Rusty, like what you and Matt said already. It's like you're seeing the wounds happen. You can hit those hit markers a lot harder. This, I don't want to compare it, but it's like I've had a lot of hours in that epic game Dauntless where like it has that same mechanic of like you're seeing the wounds, you can target them. To me, it's fluid. I will say this is probably the first Monster Hunter game I've played in many years. I think the other one was Worlds, and I played that for, like, just a few hours. So, like you're saying, coming in as a novice, coming in as someone who's like, really doesn't have a handle on it, learning the mechanics, trying to figure out exactly how is this going to work, what's the landscape like. Like, the open world is very nice to have. I think coming into this, I think anyone could follow the story, at least I can so far, and it's very straightforward. Here's the point, here's the missions, here's the side quest you can do, and you can jump right in and follow along. You don't have to, like, kind of understand a lot of the background with some of these other games, like, for instance, like Dark Souls, where you really have to understand the lore and figure out what you need to do next in terms of escalating and what you need to do to progress to finish the game. I think this comes along in a way that really just is more transparent. You can come in and be like, okay, I don't know what's going on, and learn it rather quickly, I would say. It's a whole different button format than what I'm used to. But other than that, I think like just getting that down, getting the mechanics of that down pretty quickly, I think going into it, I'm having a great time in my playthrough. I think it's fantastic. I haven't fainted yet either. So, I mean, coming from someone who hasn't even played it as much as you guys have, especially the other ones in the past, I think that's already a major jump and leap of like, okay, this is something that any player could get behind and really dig in and enjoy.
No, I agree 100%. I think that the biggest thing is being able to jump right in as a new player. And again, I've played previous Monster Hunters, not nearly to the extent I've played this one. And that's, I think, such a positive for this game in its favor, because whereas Rise and World weren't really able to hook me, I felt like this, and it could be just for the fact that really up to that point, Matt, outside of Avowed, I don't really know how many new games we'd played this year. Obviously, this is only our second episode of the year, so that kind of tells you enough that we've not had just a ton of releases so far this year, so that could be part of it. I think there's a chance that it's part of it, but I also think that a lot of that is just things this game does really well. And above all, that is the accessibility, is the easy entry point. Like you said, Zach, the story, really straightforward, really easy to follow. You go to this area, this forbidden land, the wilds, and you're more or less trying to decipher why these phenomenons are happening. You come across this kid named Nata early on in the story, and all you know is that his village was destroyed, his people were attacked by some crazy monster that at that point you only know is the White Wraith. Obviously, you go on to learn that its name is, it's called the Arkveld later on in the story. But it's very easy to follow because your goal from a lot of this beginning of this game is more or less to just help him get back to his people. And that's a very easy goal. I think that games like this, a massive positive is when your end goal is super easy and super simple to follow. A great example, and Matt, yes, you can attest to this. A great example. What's your beginning goal of Breath of the Wild? It's to go and beat Ganon. That is ultimately the main goal you start out with. And despite how big and sprawling Breath of the Wild is, it's an easy story beat to follow because your goal is very simple. And I think the goal here is very simple as well. It may not be, Matt, the craziest story when you get to the end point of it, but I think what pushed me over the finish line more than just the gameplay, I loved the characters in this story. I think that in terms of a Monster Hunter game and a story within Monster Hunter games, I think these are some of the best characters they've ever written. I loved Alma. I thought Jimmo was hysterical. I think Olivia is really good as kind of the captain of these units that are going out and are helping you on these hunts. I really felt like across the board and every character you meet along the way as well, I feel like all of these characters are really compelling and you learn to like them a lot. And I think that's a big plus, Matt.
Yeah, it is. Especially due to the fact that in past Monster Hunter games, I honestly could not tell you a lot about the characters in those games because they just didn't really have like any memorable moments, in my opinion. Now, that's not to say that they didn't to other people. So obviously I'm saying it's my opinion there. But I really did like the cast here. I thought that the voice acting work was really well done. I like the fact that your handler, Alma, has some really, you know, serious moments with the main character. And then also has some very comical moments, like when you go on a hunt and she's just, you know, you're in a situation and you're running from the monster. And she's just like, by the order of the guild, I authorize you to be able to hunt this. Like those little moments where she just says that. Is it pronounced Gemma?
Gemma.
Gemma's a good, I like her character too. You know, she's just there to create the weapons and create the armor, but she also has some really nice little moments, especially if you talk to her over the course of the game. She'll tell you some stories about her past, so previous Monster Hunter players actually can recognize this character. She just looks a lot different considering she first appeared on a 3DS game, and this is the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series and PC version of her, so definitely not recognizable, but I saw that reference on Twitter. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, I would have never got that. So I thought it was cool that they carried her over. I like the fact that, you know, a lot of other casts of the game, when you're doing hunts, some people just don't have friends that play this game. So they can't exactly, you know, get a squad going. So they just give you the ability to shoot a flare and you can summon Olivia and a couple of the others who can help you in the fights, which is really cool. You know, they're not just background characters for dialogue. They actually do something in the game. Alma's great. You know, you talk to her to start your quests. And Gemma, again, makes your stuff. And then I even like your sidekick, the cat, which I think is really cool. You can customize. And over time, as you build a relationship with the character, you can start doing quests for them in the post-game. Which that's the other thing I wanted to talk about is how, in the beginning of the game, there's not like a lot of these side quests that you can find, but post game, I'm completely like overloaded in side quests right now.
Yeah, you know, that was something else I was going to say is I felt like in the post game, I felt like the game opened up even more. And I think that that's a really good thing because I felt like there was already a lot of meat to this game in the story, but I felt like seeing a bunch of side quests open up and being rewarded and raising your hunter rank, like, I got to the end of the story. I think the max hunter rank you can have at the end of the story is rank 8. And ever since finishing the story, my hunter rank is now 47. Now, I know that that's not max level like some people already are because there are people that have no lives that have played nothing but this game. But nonetheless, like I like that there also is that constant progression. And the hunter ranks make sense. You know, in the post game, the way it works is you get your hunter rank to a certain point. You do a story mission for that post-game story, and then it'll tell you, okay, now go investigate the other regions, raise your hunter rank a little bit more, and it gives you that incentive to seek out side quests, and the side quests reward you very handsomely. Going back to the characters, because, yes, Alma and Gemma, Nada, I think, is a great character as well, and you really see his character open up. Really, in from Chapter 3 on, his character really shines, I think. But yeah. I also loved the characters you meet along the way, like Zato, the leader of the tribe that you meet in the plains area, in the very first area. Loved Zato. I was a big fan of Tashin, when you get to the keepers, when you finally find them, and you it's Nata's uncle. And I was very pleased that, spoiler alert, I had this fear that he was going to be that cliche, he's this family member, that to try to preserve this old world order, he's going to end up turning on you, and you end up having to stop him as well as the big bad monsters as well. And I was very pleased that they didn't go down that path with him. They actually created a character that, yes, he would love to preserve the ways that his people have always done things, but at the same time, he knows that his people have to adapt. He knows that they have to adapt to the changing times, to the changing world around them, to the way monsters react. And there are some crazy reveals in Chapter 3 that I think that it would be best for me and for us to not talk about them here so that you can experience them yourselves, because there's a reveal early on in Chapter 3 regarding a certain subset of monsters that, for me, completely changed how I viewed certain monsters. And I loved it a lot. I really, really did. Matt, you did mention another gameplay element that I did want to touch on. And Zach, I don't know if you've had really much time to get into it, but I'd love to hear how much, if you have had any time with it. I love the SOS flare. I think it's a great mechanic. I think being able, one, to do quests with your friends, regardless of the level, I think is a lot of fun. And I think that if you don't have any friends online, and if you've got a passcode on, and again, nobody is able to respond to it, because I'll just be honest, I think there are people online that are guessing the passcode that Matt and I set, and a remarkable amount of people are joining my hunts when I'm 99% sure I have that passcode on.
Yeah,
but I love that because, again, it takes fights from being these 35, 40-minute, like kind of slog fests to being more palatable, to being closer to, like, 15 to 20 minutes, and you're able to get right back into the gameplay and do another hunt right after. So, Zach, I don't know if you've used that mechanic at all, but I do think it's a good mechanic that they added.
Yeah, I haven't used it yet, but I can see where it really comes into handy, especially like you're saying, when you have these long, drawn-out battles. I will say I'm not one for heavy-wielded weapons, but in this game, I feel like regardless of your weapon, it's going to take a little bit longer to, you know, do charge attacks or just hit in general, which is a mechanic I'm getting used to, because I'm more of like a dex build kind of character, want to do fast attacks, dodges, things like that. So again, back to my learning curve, but having that flare really would help in terms of like, okay, this is taking a little bit longer to do. I would love to have a lot more hands involved where we can get to these hunts and really just like narrow down exactly what does it mean to do. You know, some people have already done like progress with the story like you guys have. So like to have someone like people like yourselves come in and help me be like, okay, we're like really high level. We can just take this down. We know what to do. That really saves time on, you know, everyone just moving, just trying to move forward and progress in the game. I think is very helpful.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I think that especially if you're a novice, I feel like it's a really good tool to lean on. And I think that's good. And the best part is, obviously, it's optional. So if you're a longtime fan of the series, it's a mechanic you don't have to really use. You don't have to interact with it, and you probably don't need to interact with it. But if you're new to the franchise, again, they give you that accessible way to get into it without overwhelming you with difficult and with hunts being long and grindy. Even though, obviously, Matt, as we know, some of the late-game ones and a lot of the post-game ones can get very, very grindy. But it's a fun version of grindy, I think, at least. So Zach perfectly led to the next part I wanted to talk about, and this to me is like one of the big pillars of Monster Hunter, and that's the combat variety. The combat variety is fantastic. I love it because I played one way during the story, and in the post game, I've played a completely different way, a completely different build, a completely different weapon, and I've learned how to make both viable, and I think that's awesome. So I want to hear from both of you. Zach, I'll let you go first, and then Matt, you can go after him. What was your build? What's your build been that you've used most often?
Man, I would say it's that I'm completely blanking on the name of it, but it's like that, not that pitchfork, but like that one where like you can jump in the air, leap in the air, and do attacks, spin attacks.
A fellow insect glaive mane. Insect glaive mane. I have not seen many of us online, so I like that quite a bit.
I will just say, to me, that was the quickest speed that they had, and I was like, I'm here for it. So I was like, I want to do that. I want to just play with it, but I play with every weapon, and I'm like, there's a lot of situations where I feel like when I get really good at the game and learn the mechanics and everything moving forward, that I would love to switch it up, because I don't like staying, I don't, in other games, and especially this one, like, I don't want to just stick with one play style. I feel like it gets boring, and almost predictive, and, like, knowing, like, what to do at all times. So I feel like if you mix it up, you learn all these new things. Same thing with just like different characters in different games. Like, you gotta learn their ways in which they do attacks, dodges, parries, things like that. I feel like it would come in handy the more I progress in the game, for sure.
Matt, what about you?
So for me, this is just tradition for me at this point. I always start with the switch axe. I like the it is a little bit on the heavier side and slow attacking side of things, but it definitely makes up for it in power. And a lot of the move pool that comes with the switch axe is really nice, especially as you switch from the axe side of things to more of the blade. The blade is a lot quicker. It builds up a charge meter that does additional damage and status damage as well. So the one I'm currently using is made for my Rathalos. So I have basically a fire damage. And then another thing I did want to touch on is the fact that in this game, because we have, you know, the writable secret, I want to say that's correct, secret, the basically yeah, not the chocobo. I like the fact that now you can carry an additional arm, like an additional weapon. So a secondary weapon is really cool. You can switch on the fly by hitting right on the D-pad. On that side of things, that's where my secondary is the dual blades, which are super nimble.
Love the dual blades. I think those are awesome. I love those.
Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, you can build up enough of a charge and you can go in demon mode and you're just super fast. You're good at, like, it's a lot better at dodging. The hit rate is a little bit slower, so you're able to get out of, you know, tough situations if you're low on health. Really helps out. And especially when it comes to the move that you pull off when you attack a wound and you break it, and your guy just freaking grapples around the monster, swings around, and then basically goes into like this saw blade type of motion across the monster's back. It's just so sick.
Yeah, no, I love, and that's probably the next weapon archetype that I would love to learn how to play that build. The two that I've gone with, and I think the reason why I did try to learn another weapon, one, well, so I could do a little bit more damage. Because the Insect Glaive is a really good kind of mid-tier level weapon in terms of damage, in terms of DPS. You can deal quite a bit of damage, but that weapon is primarily best used against flying monsters, against monsters that you can leap up into the air, see if you can mount them, but you can deal damage to their wings, their head, their tail. You can do all of that, while at the same time putting out a decent amount of damage. The second weapon that I picked was the weapon that I think I've had the most fun with, though. And it's because, let's be real, there's nothing more fun than bashing monsters with a gigantic fucking hammer. There is nothing more fun than that. Like, that has been fun as hell. I've loved that because, one, a lot of the hammers deal paralysis. And that becomes, especially in the post game, really useful in terms of stunning monsters and allowing yourself to get extra hits in. That's huge, especially late in the game. And I think the best part of all of this is that it forced me to learn another style, to make that style viable, and I can now, more or less in the middle of a fight, swap out if I need to approach the fight a different way, because it is two very different approaches. One is a hammer that I'm trying to stun and I'm trying to get up close and personal, and I'm not going to mount very much. I've gotten a couple mounts with the hammer, but I haven't been nearly as successful doing that as I was with the Insect Glaive. But the Insect Glaive is also perfect for early in the fight. If you want to get an early mount in and knock a monster down, go ahead and see if you can open up some wounds. It's good to kind of combo those two together to open those wounds up, swap to the hammer, and then deal massive damage to those wounds. So I feel like I agree 100% with what Zach said. I agree 100% because you don't want to box yourself in. Learning more than one way to play this game, I feel like, opens up the combat in a massive way. That is such a big boost to this game's combat. is not just sticking to one style and not learning something else. And what you said is also true, Matt, the addition of the secret to where you can swap out on the fly and you don't have to rely on getting back to camp or to a tent or anything to be able to swap. You can hop on your secret, you can swap out, hop right off and continue the fight, and it's all very seamless. So I loved that quite a bit. The dual blades is one that I certainly would love to learn, because there have been some people that have pulled off some sick combos with the dual blades. They've gone viral for a reason. They look like a lot of fun, and I certainly want to use them as well. So now the other reason why we're in a Monster Hunter game is to hunt some big-ass monsters. So Matt, as the longtime fan in this group of three people, what were some monsters that stuck out to you? And then Zach, you go after him. What were some monsters that stuck out to y'all?
So starting off, I think the one that sticks out to me the most, or one of them, is the Ray Dao, the giant electric dragon. Like, that's honestly the first moment in this game where I was like, oh, this is what Monster Hunter is about, big flying dragons. And that fight did not disappoint, honestly. He was a little bit quick, like, you know, he was fast, because clearly, like, his element is, you know, electricity, and he can stun you, which is really annoying. But man, once you get, you know, a flow going, it is so much fun. Especially, it's so satisfying when you're riding your secret up towards him and you hit triangle, circle at the same time, and you do a jump attack, and then you get on his back, and he's just freaking flapping and crazy and shooting electricity. On top of that, his attack, where his whole entire, like, mouth section turns into this giant Zap cannon, is crazy. Like, definitely, that's definitely one of the most memorable fights.
Jack, what about you?
Man, I'm going to be honest here. I've only fought four monsters so far, so that will tell you a lot. But I think what's really cool is, like, the mechanics, like I said earlier, it's like you're learning all the ways to do it. I think what's really cool is, I forget the name of it, but it's that spider one, where you can fight it. Fighting it pretty early in the forest. I think it's a combination of things. Like, you're not fighting.
It's the La Barina, yeah, that's what he's talking about. The La Barina, yeah.
That rose spider. I think it's fantastic, not only as a boss, but, like, you're not just fighting a boss to fight a boss at this point. You're fighting in, like, you know, the cinematic way. You're looking at the settings. You have to play on, like, ways in which the environment have it for you. But, like, there's also, like, other monsters that can come in and, of course, fight other monsters. There's the small ones that just kind of get in your way and you got to kill them. But, like, seeing the environment surrounding the monsters, I think, is adding so much more depth into just, like, you're not just hunting. I feel like you're doing, like, almost, like, spiritual quests in a way, where it's, like, you're really immersed in what you're doing. And I think out of my time playing so far, I think that's been a really good positive of just, like, I want to keep doing this, and I want to fight more, and I want to learn more moving forward. So to me, that one's pretty cool.
That hunger, I think, is the number one thing that I can point at for this game and say that that is why this game succeeds, is because as you're fighting, I texted you, Matt, and I said this. I said that every time I want to put this game down for a minute, it keeps me going for another hour or two, because I fight a monster that's super cool and super badass, and the armor set's awesome, and it's better than my current gear, and it makes me want to keep playing to get that armor set. And I think that that is the mark of this game being successful, is it gets you locked into that gameplay loop, and it's such a fun loop to be locked into. I thought there were a lot of really good fights in the base part of the story, I thought the La Barina was a big standout. I loved the set piece style of that fight, where you're paying attention to the paralysis spores that it's throwing off. It's a fast paced fight, so you have to react and move very quickly. And the weak points are obvious, but you have to put in quite a bit of work to get there. So I think that it makes you earn it. I think the Roidal is another fight that is fantastic as well. But for me, the fights that I think you're here for and the fights that you're going to love are the ones that are in the post game. For me specifically, the fight that I've done most has been the Fulgur Anjanath. The T-Rex that sprouts big ass electricity spikes at some point in the fight. Like, it is just, in terms of effects going on screen, in terms of just the overall set piece, it has become one of my favorite fights in the game. And it's one that, again, I've done most often because it is such a fun fight to do over and over again. I was a big fan of the Dishagama as well, this gigantic kind of bear-looking monster. Matt, another one that's relatively early on, and Zach, you're going to get to this one, I think, relatively soon in your game. I thought the Uthduna was really cool, the one where you have to kind of take down the veil of water armor that it has and to be able to do real damage. But it's just such a cool-looking monster, and it's one that, again, I've fought over and over again because the fight itself is fun. I love how it uses the environment to attack as well, so it forces you to think about all that.
Yeah.
I think there are some really, really awesome fights in this game. The one fight I'm not a huge fan of, and Matt, you know where I'm going with this, was not a big fan of the new Udra. And I hated it because in IGN's review, that was their favorite fight.
And yeah, but you also looked at IGN.
No, fair. IGN has not been credible with most games in years, so fair. But I came away from that fight thinking, man, that's a cool design, but I'm just not a big fan because the weak spots are so hard to get to. And it's not hard to get to in the sense of, oh, it makes you earn it. No, it's hard to get to in the sense that you're trying to get to it, you're focusing on getting to it, you're dodging attacks, you're dodging the fire that it's shooting out, and yeah, it's a cool fire octopus monster, but at the same time, I feel like when I do damage to them, I don't feel like I'm being rewarded all that much. Now, I don't know how you felt, Matt, but was there another monster besides that that stuck out to you in sense of, you know, I see what they were going for, but I'm not sure this hit the mark. Was there another monster like that for you?
Surprisingly, as far as I've gotten, no, it's the same one for me that I had issues with. Not just because he was the first time that I fainted, but here's the funny story about that. So
I'm about to say, like, if this story is what I think it is, this is kind of hysterical.
By the time, so we did enough damage to him. He's limping. He's moving from place to place. By the time I fainted the second time, because you can only faint 3 times in a mission. By the time I fainted the second time, I got up. I went to my tent to replenish my potions and my mega potions, and the next thing I know, other hunters killed him, and I had to race to his body to basically carve his materials, and I made it with 10 seconds to spare. That was annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I would be pretty annoyed too.
And this boss fight is a test of your patience when it comes to that god-awful camera work. When it comes to face fighting the monsters, because I couldn't see anything, the most that happens is this monster is covering the entire camera, and you can see a little outline of your character, but when there's so much crazy shit going on, I can't even see my own outline. I'm like, okay, please, you know what, at this point, just smack me halfway across the map so I can refine myself and regain myself. But,
yeah.
Camera, in certain times, is honestly the worst enemy in this game. Biggest boss in this game.
Yeah, you know, that was probably one of my bigger complaints. I don't have many complaints in this game. I think this game is fantastic, and I think if you're looking for something new to play and you've not played this series a lot, I think this is a great game to play. But the camera work is okay a lot of the times, but when it's rough, it's rough. Like, it is tough to deal with. The other part, and the new Udra was, again, kind of where I first encountered this, and it's one of the only parts I encountered this in. And that's that the map sometimes can be a little difficult to traverse because you might sometimes just not have any idea where you're going to find this monster. And that was very much the case in the new Udra fight was, okay, this monster ran. Where the hell did it go? Because I had trouble finding it at certain points, and that was frustrating for me. I'll let both of you go. Zach, what was your biggest critique when it came to this game?
You know, it's actually a great question because I was actually thinking, I would love to, we talked a lot about the positives and things that were going on. I would like to also talk about a little bit of the negatives, which you're already going into. Before I go into that, I also just want to say one more positive. I think I'm a music guy. I think the score is wonderful. I think
fantastic. I agree.
Hearing the music and just the way in which it just like compels you to keep going further. It's almost like it's cheering you on in a way, but it's also like, it's also adding to the environment and the visuals of what you're hunting, which I think, again, is amazing. Of course, a lot of games do this, but it's like, if you can entice a player to do more than just one thing, and there's a lot more that comes into it in the subconscious, I think that's fantastic. You said, Rusty, like, it just wants you to be more hungry for more. I think that's awesome. I think one of the critiques that I do have is kind of the gradients, especially in the desert area. Like, I think the saturation in those details are kind of lacking at parts. And then because you have these settings of night, day, or default, I think it's really interesting, like, sometimes you'll fight a monster and it's like kind of gradient, and then it will be like, boom, here's a golden landscape all of a sudden after you kill the monster, and it's not really going with the timeline, just kind of like it's sporadic at times. At least that's what I've seen, and that's some of the reviews that I've looked at as well that have also had some complaints about it. But yeah. Again, like I said, I'm still early in the game, so that's what I've seen. I haven't actually had any much trouble with the camera work. To me, it's been completely fine. But again, like I said, still early. Going to have a lot more probably coming up, especially with these more, I would say, grueling fights coming up where you really have to get on it, like Matt's story here, which, again, I haven't heard. So it's really cool to hear that coming in, like, oh, cool, what do we need to prepare for, too? So one of those is something that I think, I guess, players would also enjoy is, like, what do we expect in terms of, like, the positives and the negatives? So... I would probably say right now the gradients are not as really flushed out and transitioning well as they should be as of right now.
That's a fair point. I think it's a very fair point for sure. Matt, was there anything else in terms of critique that that you had to talk about?
Zach, I'm actually very happy you brought that up because the game is very saturated, and even areas like the forest that you go to, everything just looks so washed out. And now Monster Hunter has not always been known for having the best graphics. More focus when it comes to Monster Hunter is, you know, they want to make sure the game runs well, which it does. They want to make sure that the monsters, you know, behave like animals, like they're in their movements, and the hit detections are pretty good too. So... I really don't have any complaints about the combat or the actual gameplay itself, but just the way that the game does look visually, it's not very appealing, especially we're running on PlayStation 5 and Series X and PC. And again, it's just, you know, it's not a high budget game in the graphics department, and that's okay, because again, the gameplay is really well. But if I did have a complaint, it's I'm learning this in the post-game stuff, is having to find specific monsters kind of sucks. Because right now, yeah. I can't exactly just choose any quest line that I want from previous fights. I have to wait till they, you know, pop up in on the map sometimes. And what is cool about that is I have discovered some older monsters from older games. Like, I was just playing right before we got into this episode to record, and I found the Rathian, which is one of my favorite originals to go along with the Rathalos, especially when they are in the same area, because they actually work together when they fight you, which is amazing because Rathalos is the king, Rathian is the queen. It's fantastic. Like, I like those little set pieces. But right now, I actually have a quest where I'm having to find the Ropopolo, this weird-ass bird-looking thing that is purple and poisons you. And I have rested probably about 5 times in a row now, and he still is not showing up where he needs to be. So that's irritating.
Yeah, I can imagine that's frustrating. You know, the Ropopolo was actually another monster I actually really enjoyed fighting, so I hate to hear that has happened for you. But I also know, as someone who had to do that early post-game grind, they will start popping up more often. It's just you kind of have to get going a little bit first. It does take a little bit of time. So that is a very, very fair point of concern. I think that they definitely could have made that a little bit better. So I see the point there 100%. I think all in all, when I look at how to score this game and what I think in terms of giving this game a score on a 10-point scale, and again, I may be looking at it through rose-tinted glasses. I don't personally think that I am. I feel good about giving this game a 9. Like, I feel like this game is a really high-quality game, and it's one that I would absolutely recommend to somebody else. Yeah. Matt, I'll let you go ahead and talk about it a little bit again as a longtime fan. Where do you come at in giving this a score?
I agree. A 9 is great because this game isn't trying to be anything else. It is straight to the point, Monster Hunter. And it's peak Monster Hunter, in my opinion, especially as, you know, the game is out longer and we start getting really cool, like, DLC quests. And maybe eventually we get a DLC storyline like we did with Monster Hunter World and Icebreaker, whatever that DLC was called.
Iceborne.
Yeah.
You combine Sunbreak and Iceborne. It's okay. We'll let it slide.
So Monster Hunter games have some of the best long-term support without you having to rely on microtransactions, which has always been one of my favorite things, especially such an online heavy game, like a franchise like Monster Hunter. So yeah, I think a 9 is it's exactly where I want it to be. This game has a lot of fantastic quality of life features that makes, you know, hunting monsters not just easier, but more, you know, satisfying, especially once you beat them down and you get the materials you're looking for. Monster Hunter is always that kind of game that gives you that satisfaction for the hard work that you put in. So, yeah, a 9, I would agree.
Well, thanks.
I think, Matt, you touched on something pretty interesting about, like, they reward you really well. Into this game, I went to one of the supports, that one of the cat menus, and it's like, hey, you're a new player. Like, let's offer you a ton of items. Let's get you, like, ready for this game. Let's give you what you need moving forward. I think that's really cool for incentive. And then I also went deeper down the rabbit hole and got, like, all the free... I'm on PlayStation 5, so, like, all the purchases that were free, it's like, hey, you have, like, some vouchers, you have some things like this that you would normally, like you say, or what you said is have those microtransactions where it's like, I have to pay for this, this, and this, cosmetics, things like that, which is, of course, in every game. But it's like, cool, we're going to allow you to have some gestures, some outfits, some other things that incentivize you to be like, hey, here's some fun stuff that you can already come out of the gate with, which I found last night to be really exciting because I've never seen that where it's like, oh, here's stuff that you can get that you can really enjoy moving forward that will boost you throughout the game. And I haven't really seen that in a lot of games where it's like, okay, if you want to advance at the beginning, you have to pay for it heavily or at least in some type of transaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I will tell you guys one thing. People are going to listen to this episode. They're gonna hear us, like long-term fans of this series, are going to hear all of us called the Palico Cats, and they are going to be livid with all three of us. So I figured I would throw that in there at least once, that we know that they're called Palicos. We are very aware of that. So before you jump down our throats entirely, we do know that. So don't worry, we're all good there. But, Bell, I think this has been a good episode. Is there anything we didn't touch on that you guys want to touch on before we call it?
I would have to say the only other new addition that I really like to this game is how they've made crafting a lot easier with the auto-crafting when you have it, like, turned on. So when you collect items out in the field, it'll automatically create potions and mega potions and all kinds of things.
You know, Zach, you get to be a part of one of the longest running traditions in Side Mission because every single time at the end of an episode I ask, is there anything else you want to add? Matt, without fail, has something to add every single time, but I'm low-key glad he does because that means that we missed something. So, Zach, is there anything you want to add before we call it an episode?
Yeah, I think it's really cool that it's like it's open world. But going back to one of the negatives, at least in the reviews I've seen, not in my own personal experience yet, but like, it has this open world feel, but it still feels like it, at least in the main storyline, that it makes you kind of stay within the linear way of traveling. Like, you can't really go outside of bounds without it saying something. But other than that, like, I mean, of course you have to get to your objective, but sometimes you want to do, like you said, side quests or do other things before then. Sometimes you're not able to have that during a mission. But other than that, what I've seen, I think it's been fantastic. I love the open world experience, and I love how you can just, like, move around the terrain and really get immersed in it.
Really well said. I think it's a perfect place to wrap the episode, even though Zach heard the meme of Matt always having something to add, and he said, let me get in on this. So I love it. Zach, we've enjoyed having you on this episode. This has been a very fun episode, our second episode of the year. And don't worry, more reviews are coming. Matt and I are going to be reviewing Avowed very soon. Kyle, Matt, and I are also going to have a review. I believe all three of us are going to have a review coming of Split Fiction, which, spoiler alert for both of those reviews, we're enjoying both of those games quite a bit. So a lot of content to look forward to. That is going to wrap up this episode of Side Mission. You can follow us on Twitter at Side Mission Pod. You can also check us out on Facebook at Side Mission Podcast. For Zach and Matt, that rhymed. I'm Rusty. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.